People who are crazy enough to think they're going to change the world are the ones who usually do.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa, and I want to tell you something about my dad. So my dad is a voracious reader, and when I was growing up, he would print off articles for me to read. In fact, he still gives me articles to read. He prints them off and mails them, or he emails them, whatever. And so we joke about my dad always saying, "I read an article." Well, you know, guess what? I read an article recently, and because my kids don't want to hear it, I decided I would share it with you instead. Okay, I know. It's happened. I've become my father. It's fine. This is what I was always meant to do. Anyway, but this article was about rain, and I discovered that raindrops are not shaped like raindrops. You know how little kids will draw these, you know, little raindrop, they look like tears. Small raindrops are actually spheres, and large raindrops are shaped like hamburger buns. Hamburger buns! I have been drawing raindrops wrong my entire life. So please tell me that I'm not the only one. I guess I'm not saying go and correct little kids, but, you know, if you want them to be scientifically accurate, I mean, live how you need to live. It also makes me love raindrops just a little bit more when I think of them as little hamburgers falling from the sky. We truly are living in a cloudy with a chance of meatballs scenario, folks. So here's to some rain / hamburgers in the forecast. Also, I just want to thank you for your comments on social media. We love your comments and we read every single one. And I want to say a special hello to Amy, who follows us on Instagram. She shared something that really helps her. She wrote, "A walk and a talk with a good friend always helps me process and open up and get clarity, or at least get out of my house and have a good laugh. Love girl time with a trusted friend." Well, I want to be your friend, Amy. I love walking and talking and being with friends. So it's a really good idea, I think, for all of us to not overthink what we need. Today, we're finishing our series on how to do good better. And if you've listened to the whole series, thank you for joining me on this journey to figure out how we can improve the way we look at doing good in the world. There's been a lot of laughter, there have been some tears, and there have been a whole lot of incredible people with incredible ideas and stories. We started off by talking about how there is hope for change in the world and how you have a specific role to play in that change. We explored how to love the problem you find, how to find solutions that really work, and how to vet charitable organizations. We've talked about how to build a positive relationship with giving, one that enriches our lives without resulting in burnout. And we've talked about how to get the whole family involved in social impact. Now, hopefully, you're raring to go out and do some good in the world. But let's talk for just a second about what happens next. Because sometimes when you do good in the world, you get to see immediate results and how it impacts someone. Like my neighborhood park cleanup. After an hour of picking up all the go-gurt wrappers and water bottles and things we're not going to mention here on the radio, the park looks fantastic. Check. That's great. But there are other times when you may not see the impact you've had or meet the people you've helped. But don't worry. And why? Well, because water. Seriously, I read an article about this. We've all thrown a rock in a pond and seen the ripples that radiate to the edge of the water. Well, every time you try to do good in this world, you're throwing a rock in the water. One good deed can ripple outwards and influence the lives of many more people than we might ever know. Little acts go a long way. To watch this ripple effect in action, I want to introduce you to Melissa Sevi, the founder and CEO of Ethic, an organization that connects artisans around the world with global markets. Melissa's background is actually in public health. The idea for her organization was sparked while she was teaching classes on disease prevention in Uganda. She was teaching about the importance of hand washing when she realized that a lot of her students couldn't even afford soap. So in order to improve public health, she had to go to the root of the problem, helping people get out of poverty by providing them with buyers for their handcrafted products.
In the developing world, the second largest industry is handcraft, actually. So that's second only to agriculture. Wow. So we're talking about hundreds of millions of people who make beautiful craft. You know, whenever you travel, you see beautiful hand-woven things, but often they have barriers to accessing the global market. And so we just see ourselves as a bridge of bringing these beautiful crafts into the market. And so Ethic, we work with handcrafters around the world who make beautiful items with stories of impact and meaning and cultural significance. And one of the ways we do that, we sell online, just e-commerce, and then we sell to businesses. So we'll do like large bulk orders, sometimes 10,000, 30,000 handcrafted items. So that means we're sometimes employing like multiple people across multiple villages, weaving a basket to then come to a company.
Melissa sees the ripples that are extending from her efforts to eliminate poverty. But she also knows that some of the biggest splashes in this world come from helping women and mothers.
We need to find a way to really sustain this. And having got to know the artisan sector and seeing that this is a way of getting at a lever for alleviating poverty, particularly targeting women, because women are the majority of handcrafters around the world. And so putting money in the hands of moms is an incredible way to break the generational cycle of poverty. Even statistically, like studies have shown that and this is particularly in developing world contexts, every dollar that goes into the hands of a man, and this is not a man-hating, this is just what it is, 30% for men, 90% for women go in to take care of their families.
Investing in mothers creates a ripple effect. And of course it does, right? I mean, the very nature of being a mom is doing all the little things we do for our kids, bathing, clothing, feeding, teaching, healing, carpooling, supporting, and loving them so they can go out and impact the world. Making ripples is a mom's superpower. And that is exactly why Ethic is providing mothers with access to global markets so that these moms can sell their goods, which then enables them to feed, clothe, medicate, and educate their children, breaking cycles of generational poverty. Catherine Facer got involved with Ethic a few years ago and is now their office manager. Side note, Catherine and I used to do Zumba together, and I didn't even realize she was involved with Ethic until we invited her and Melissa in. So this was a fun little personal connection. And I can confirm Catherine is killing it, both as an office manager and with her merengue on the dance floor. Catherine has been able to see firsthand the ripple effect that Ethic has created.
Everything about Ethic is the story, the impact of what you are buying and what that has on the community, and then the person that you're giving it to. Like, how cool to receive something that has this beautiful story behind it, that has this beautiful history too, like generational history of the things that they're making and how long they've been making them in their tribe and in their village. It's been quite an amazing experience to learn more and more. So it has been quite a process just to know that we are all capable of doing something that we had no idea we could do.
Catherine gets to help others through the Ethic organization, but the organization is also helping her. At the time Catherine joined Ethic, she was going through big changes in her personal life, including adjusting to life as a single mom. Her new job not only gave her purpose, but allowed her to be an empowered mother, just like those she was trying to help. Sometimes ripples of good come full circle.
Life is hard, and it's hard for everyone. So I'm going to reach out to you as I would want someone to reach out to me. And I'm going to show you love and compassion, and I'll put a hand on your shoulder and just say, hey, how are you? Even though maybe my life is falling apart. And it's one of those beautiful things that I want to carry on in my life is that we all can be there for each other. We can all uplift one another. And hopefully that full circle just keeps happening in our world. Because we all need it, and we can go through this world like, I'm gonna be tough, I don't need anyone, but I don't wanna feel that way. I want to feel like I need everybody, and everyone needs everybody.
Like Catherine said, we all need each other at different points in our life. No one is an island. And yet it's so easy to get caught in the trap of thinking we have to be completely self-sufficient and can't accept help from others. And I know from personal experience that as soon as I start thinking like, okay, I'm okay, really, I don't need help from anyone, I got this. Well, that's a sure sign that a curveball is going to come my way that will remind me just how much I need others. And that's a good thing. Do you remember Dale Hull from NeuroWorks? He was the doctor who was paralyzed and then started a clinic to help other paralysis victims. I love what he has to say about this idea of needing others and receiving help.
There's an equation in life. You can't have givers if you don't have receivers. The equation has to balance on both sides. And learning to become a gracious receiver of service sometimes is almost more challenging than being a gracious giver. But having gone through that and learned how good that is and how nice it is to be a receiver of this wonderful service, I'm actually happy to be a gracious receiver of service. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's just amazing. And you can do it in a way that you never feel burdened. You don't feel guilty because it's just the way it works. There can be just as much strength in being the receiver as there is strength in being the giver.
Life seems to really enjoy jolting us back to the hard truth that we can't do it alone, as much as we might want to. I think we somehow believe that being totally independent is what it means to be fully human, but the opposite is actually true. We receive help from other people, and then we pass that help on to others. It's that giving and receiving of love that creates a beautiful ripple effect, and that is what makes us human. Now, I want you to hang on to your hats because I'm about to share some incredible stories about some incredible humans that are all connected in incredible ways. You want to see giving? You want to see receiving? You want to see a ripple effect that goes on for miles and miles? Well, here you go. Our first story starts in the Red Rock Desert of southern Utah. A 22-year-old Meg Johnson is on a date with her boyfriend. She's never been to southern Utah before, and she is loving it. Meg is happily hopping between rocks, an easy feat for her flexible ballroom dancer's body, but then she takes a wrong step. Meg falls off a 40-foot cliff and lands on the dirt below. Meg's arms are broken, her legs are broken, her collarbone is broken, her neck is broken. Miraculously, she is alive. Meg is taken to the hospital where she is declared a paraplegic with no use of her legs or hands. But that's not where her story ends, not even close. As Meg begins a long recovery in the hospital, guess who is there to support her? Dale Hull, whom we've heard from and whom we interviewed in episode 6. Dale is the executive director of NeuroWorks, a nonprofit organization that provides neurological care to paralysis victims. When Dale shows up to Meg's hospital room, he witnesses some pretty emotional things.
She was really in bad shape. So when Meg got hurt, I went to see her in the hospital. And I was there when she started to have a little bit of movement in one of her hands, and it gave her hope. She eventually came to our clinic for her rehab. It was, again, one of those situations where, unfortunately, it was very apparent that her injury was going to force her to use a wheelchair for her mobility.
Dale knew all too well about life being turned upside down in a matter of seconds. It was his story, too. One minute he had been a successful OBGYN who was just jumping on a trampoline and doing a flip, and then next, he was in a wheelchair paralyzed from the neck down. Dale describes himself before the accident as being malignantly independent. For the rest of us, I think that's doctor speak for really, totally, incredibly independent. But then all of that changed.
Obviously, when I was injured, I was a malignantly independent physician. And to go from malignantly independent to totally dependent, because I had to rely on people to do everything. And when you say everything, I mean everything you can think of and everything you don't want to think of, right? So I've learned to be a gracious receiver of service.
One of the people whose service made a remarkable impact on Dale was his physical therapist, Jan Black. Jan worked with Dale several hours a day, 5 days a week. With Jan's unfailing support, vision, and expertise, Dale was eventually and miraculously able to walk independently again. Obviously, Jan is an incredible physical therapist. I mean, look what she was able to do with Dale. But Jan's ability to change lives doesn't come from innate talent only. She's been blessed by others, and in turn, she pays that goodness forward with her patients.
Again, I think I receive something every day. I receive stuff from my staff that they've figured the next step out, or they've figured out how to help someone that may be struggling with how to sit up for the first time, or how to balance or catch themselves, or even just pushing their chair, you know, how excited they get from going from a power chair to a manual chair because they've worked so hard to make that happen. So I think for me, I mean, I get paychecks every day.
The excitement of her staff when they see patients progress fuels Jan and her ability to serve others. But many times, Jan's motivation comes from her patients themselves.
I had a little boy that drew a picture of me while I was looking at a sore on his heel, and he drew all my wrinkles, and his mom was so embarrassed, and I said, you know what, I've earned these, it's okay. And because patients are just genuine, and I think they just want people to accept them, and once they understand that life is going to be okay even though they're paralyzed, my paycheck happens all the time.
A small boy draws a picture for Jan. His kind, genuine gesture makes her laugh and enjoy her job, which then enables her to be a better therapist to those who are suffering paralysis, people like Dale Hull and Megan Johnson. Now let's pause here for a moment. Do you see what has happened here? We're witnessing some pretty incredible ripples. Jan Black meets a patient named Dale Hull. She works with him every day doing what she does best, providing physical therapy and support. Jan's unfailing efforts allow Dale to walk and even carry the Olympic torch in the 2002 Olympics. Dale and Jan then decide to start their own company named NeuroWorks to help other paralysis victims. One of those victims happens to be Meg Johnson. Meg goes to Jan and Dale's clinic, where Meg is able to eventually regain use of her arms. Meg then becomes an ambassador for women by founding the Utah chapter of the Ms. Wheelchair Pageant. Meg extends her reach to teens and little girls in wheelchairs by founding the Teen Spokes and Princess Pageant programs. Meg even goes on to write 5 books and gives motivational speeches to thousands. And in one of those motivational speeches, I happen to be in the audience. I have heard Meg's story, I've been inspired by it, and now I'm telling you her story. Are you seeing them? All those ripples? They create a beautiful pattern of giving and receiving that extends beyond individuals, beyond situations, and beyond years. And I think it's safe to say that the ripples we're seeing won't stop there. And why? Because these people are still trying to make a difference. Jan and Dale continue to direct the NeuroWorks Clinic and help new paralysis patients every day. Meg is still giving hope to people in wheelchairs and spends her days inspiring them and other very important people, her own children. Some of the efforts these people are making are time-consuming and big, but other efforts are simple and small. But every act, big or small, can create a ripple that changes lives. Imagine the difference we could all make if we were willing to both give and receive service in this world. Dale has an idea about how to keep this ripple effect going.
Pay attention to what grabs your attention. Pay attention to what makes you stop and contemplate the things that maybe make you feel a little teary-eyed, that you say to yourself, I'm curious about that, or is there something I can do? And once you identify that, then you say, okay, I must feel something about this. There's something about this that has my heart, that has my spirit, that I resonate with. Is there something I can contribute? And so sometimes just showing up and saying, I'm here, what do you want me to do? It always brings to mind the Jack Kerouac quote, you know, people who are crazy enough to think they're gonna change the world are the ones who usually do. So it always gives me a little courage to say, yeah, it's a crazy idea, but why not?
The people who are crazy enough to think they're going to change the world are the people who usually do. What a great thought. I hope what you can take away from all of this is that even if you don't see it, small acts can go a very long way. So as we get involved in social impact, even in seemingly simple ways, we can have faith that the effects extend far beyond what we can see. I'd like to share a small story with you of the ripples that I've seen in my own life. Many years ago, I taught high school English. As I was trying to come up with assignments to meet the core curriculum for a bunch of sophomores, I decided to cater to their strengths and let them do what they do well. Talk about themselves. No offense, teenagers. So I have them compare and contrast years of their lives, write a descriptive piece, and then compose a persuasive essay. Side note, I was about to have a baby and would be taking maternity leave after these papers were due, so I had the perfect plan to grade all these papers with all my extra time as the mother of a newborn. As if. I mean, let me tell you, I knew nothing. Anyway, somewhere in my sleep-deprived haze of breastfeeding and diaper changing, I graded those papers, and I really didn't give them any more thought. A few years later, after I had left teaching, I ran into a former teacher from my school. She said, "Isn't it so sad what happened to Joe?" Joe had been one of my sophomores. I hadn't heard the news, but Joe had lost his life in a tragic accident. Of course, I was equally devastated to hear the news. Imagine my shock when my friend and former colleague told me that the parents had said that as they were going through his things, they had found his assignments from my class. They read the essays about his sophomore thoughts and feelings, and for one small moment, they were able to have a glimpse of the son they had lost. Now, let's be honest. I can't take credit for this chain of events. I truly believe I had been prompted to create those assignments, if only so Joe's family could read them years later. But what I do hope you can see from this story is that you won't always understand just how deep and wide your impact can be on others. It just so happened that I ran into this colleague of mine, and she was kind enough to connect the dots for me. Ripples are happening all around us, seen and unseen. We did this series on doing good better because I think we've all been the beneficiaries of these ripples, and we want to pay our blessings forward. Doing good isn't always simple, but it doesn't have to be as complicated as it seems. Ordinary people who want to do good in the world, people like you and me, are the kind of people who bring about huge changes for the better just by getting involved and lending a hand. Now, if you're feeling the nudge to do something, then I've got great news. We here at The Lisa Show have created a quick start guide to social impact. It has the most important ideas and resources from all of the episodes in this series, and they are in one place to help you move forward with a plan. And best of all, it's free. It's our little gift to you. We'll be using it, and we hope you'll use it too. You can find the link to the Quick Start Guide in our stories on Instagram, on Facebook, and in the program notes. Whatever our efforts may be in trying to do some good, and no matter how small our influence, we can trust that it will ripple through the world in ways that go beyond what we can see. What we do matters. The way we spend our time matters. And we have real influence on the people we come into contact with. So let's make our influence a positive one. Let's lend a hand in our communities and do something, even if it's small. And we can trust that God will never let a good heart go to waste.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Avery Stoneley, with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, Erica Price, Kenny Mears, and Michael Combs, with music and post-production by Kit Merrill. For more information about our guests, Jan Black and Dale Hull of NeuroWorks, and Melissa Sevi and Catherine Facer of Ethic, you can find links to their work in our show notes. If you haven't subscribed to The Lisa Show on YouTube, you can find even more content on our channel, including The Council of Moms, filmed live in our studio. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about another incredible show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, Top of Mind. Top of Mind is perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that really matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough topic. Award-winning host Julie Rose talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that will challenge you. They're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind wherever you get your podcasts.